Well, if you would turn in your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 4, and this evening we shall be reading verses 1 to 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, let us hear the word of the Lord. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." This short passage is intended to encourage you, just as it was intended to encourage the people who first heard it, those who first heard this passage and who believed it to be true, who believed it to be God's word, belong to the remnant in Israel. They were very much in the minority, and life for them was hard. And in a similar way today, we who are Christians, perhaps especially Bible-believing Christians, are very much in the minority. And as a result, life is often hard for us. But this passage encourages us, as it would have encouraged our forefathers, because it tells us that the Lord our God is the helper of the helpless. This passage tells us that God helps us in hard times and in the struggles that we face. And so I hope this evening that you will leave church encouraged by this passage as we spend some time looking at it, and encouraged as you head out into the world in the coming week, and perhaps do feel yourself very much to be in the minority. I have just 2 points to make this evening. The first of which is this, that God's people are helpless. God's people are helpless. We read in verse 1, "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.'" Here is a woman who is in desperate need. Her husband has died, and this creditor is threatening to take away her two sons. She is grieving the loss of her husband, and she is fearing that she may lose her children. She is a widow and she is poor. She is probably the most helpless kind of person that you could have come across in Israel, and even that you would come across today. Her future looks very bleak indeed. In addition, this poor widow is dealing with more than death and destitution. There is also an aggravation in her desperation. Notice what she says about her dead husband. She says to Elisha, "You know that your servant," her husband, "feared the Lord." This woman's husband had been a godly man. He had been faithful to the Lord at a time when such faithfulness could be very costly. When most others in Israel had sided with Baal, this man had been loyal to God, loyal to the covenant Lord. He hadn't gone along with the crowd. He had bucked the religious trends of the day. And yet now, this godly man, this man who feared the Lord, who was loyal to the covenant Lord of Israel, now he is dead, and his loved ones, who are left behind, face disaster. And you can almost hear the widow crying out, "Why, O Lord? Why have you let this happen? Why are you letting the righteous suffer?" It's a common complaint. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? You see such a complaint in other parts of the Bible, perhaps especially in the Psalms. Perhaps it's a complaint that you have sometimes made to the Lord. Why, O Lord, are you letting this happen? Why do the righteous suffer when the wicked seem to get away with it? This poor widow is dealing with death, with destitution, and with a sense of injustice, that life is just not fair. But what I want you to notice is that she is faithful in her desperation, faithful in her honest complaint. She takes her troubles to Elisha, the servant of the Lord, later on called the man of God, and she lays her complaint and her problems before him. And in doing so, she is effectively casting her cares upon the Lord by going to the Lord's prophet, the Lord's servant, the man of God. She is effectively casting all of her cares upon the Lord himself. And this is a privilege that you have, brothers and sisters. This is a privilege that you can enjoy. When you are facing great trouble, when you are feeling utterly helpless, when life seems very unfair and cruel, you can, indeed you ought, to go to the Lord and tell it all to him and cast all of your burdens upon him, because the God who reigns over all cares for you. The God who is altogether powerful will sustain you. Psalm 142 says, "I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him." And this is what this poor widow does. She pours out her complaint to Elisha, and in so doing, to the Lord. And this is what I want to encourage you to do this evening. Pour out your complaint before the Lord. Tell him your trouble, whatever it may be. We face all sorts of troubles, all sorts of struggles. We have all sorts of complaints. Pour it all out before the Lord. He cares and he will help. And this brings us to our second point, that God helps his helpless people. God's people are helpless, but he helps his helpless people. This poor widow has brought her troubles to Elisha, and he responds by saying to her in verse 2, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" Here, Elisha is effectively saying to this woman, tell me how I can help. Tell me how I can be of assistance to you. What is it that you want? What is it that you need? In other words, Elisha pities her. He has mercy upon her. He wants to help her. His heart goes out to her in all of her need and trouble. And what is interesting, I think, is if you contrast this with what we saw last week when he had to deal with King Jehoram. You may remember that in the incident last week when King Jehoram comes to him, Elisha is very stern with him and he wants nothing to do with him. If you cast your eyes back to chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Elisha says to the king, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mother. And then a little bit later on, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, were it not that I have regard for Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would neither look at you nor see you. And yet here, Elisha is so very attentive to the needs of this poor, nameless widow who has absolutely no status whatsoever in Israel. You may not have much, if any, status in the world. But if you are a child of God, a Christian believer, the Lord of heaven and earth is attentive to your needs. He hears when you cry, and he pities you. Elisha has asked this woman what it is that she has in her house. But she tells him that all that she has is a jar of oil. Perhaps the equivalent of someone today saying, I've just got a few pounds in the bank, that's all. This poor widow basically has nothing, nothing at all, nothing to offer. But this is so often where God begins in his help for us. God begins to help us when we have nothing and are conscious that we have nothing. When we are destitute of all resources, that is so often when God begins to work. Because our having nothing is no obstacle whatsoever to the God who has everything. The God who has all power and all ability. And God may well begin, as he does here, to help us with the very item that, as it were, symbolizes our helplessness. And he may well make that item the means by which he helps us. Remember, Jesus did that wonderfully in that very famous miracle when he fed the 5,000. There, 5,000 men are hungry, and Jesus says to his disciples, what have you got with which to feed these men? And they say, well, all we've got are 5 loaves and 2 fish. In other words, we've got nothing, really, nothing at all. And Jesus takes these 5 loaves and these 2 fish, which symbolize the helplessness of the disciples, their inability to feed these 5,000 men. He takes them and he makes this sumptuous feast out of them. All this poor widow has is a jar of oil. And Elisha says to her, go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside. Here we see Elisha promising this poor, destitute widow that she and her family will be provided for. Here we see Elisha bringing a word of good news into her desperate situation. And this promise that Elisha gives to this woman is intended to be believed. It is intended to be acted upon. What Elisha says to this widow may well have sounded very strange. You've got virtually nothing. Well, go and get more items, more vessels that you can fill with this little jar of oil that you've got. It may have sounded very strange to her. It may have sounded too good to be true. But as the Lord's prophet, Elisha is speaking God's word. He is speaking God's word of good news, of gospel promise. And this good news, this gospel promise, is to be believed. And it is to be acted upon. And this is what the woman does. This woman trusts and she obeys. She lives just like a Christian. Verse 5, she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there isn't another. Then the oil stopped flowing. This woman believed the word of Elisha. Even if it sounded very strange, even if it sounded too good to be true, she believed this gospel promise and she acted upon it. And this teaches us that God's promise of provision is intended to stimulate our faith and our obedience. He doesn't promise us things so that we just sit back passively. His promises, his good news, is intended to stir up faith within us, which expresses itself in a life of glad, wholehearted, willing obedience. Because you see, God's design isn't merely to supply what you need. He promises to give you all that you need, to give you your daily bread and everything else besides. But his design isn't merely to provide for what you need, but to build your faith and to spark your obedience in the process. His design is to make you godly, mature Christians who really believe him and who act upon his promises, living them out in daily obedience, knowing that the Lord is good and that he can be relied upon. This is what we see this woman doing. She is a fine believer. And it's very simple in a way. As the hymn says, just trust and obey. There's no other way. And that's what we see this woman doing. So when you are helpless, as so often you are, go to God with all of your helplessness. Pour out your troubles to him, every single one of them. And listen to the promises of his word and believe them. Don't doubt them. God has spoken in his word and his word is true. His word contains so many good and precious promises which are designed to strengthen us, to encourage us, to help us. Believe them and live in the light of them. Elisha has promised this widow that she will be provided for. She has responded to this promise by believing it and by acting obediently. And this promise is then fulfilled. She came and told the man of God all that had happened, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest. This poor widow who had nothing, who feared that her sons would be taken away, just as her husband had been taken away from her. This poor widow and her family are amply provided for by the Lord. Not only do they have enough to pay off their debts to this creditor, they also then have enough to live on, it seems, for the rest of their lives. And so we see that truly their cup overflows. This family, this poor family who had no status whatsoever, who could so easily be disregarded, this family receive grace upon grace. God, my friends, is not just gracious. God is abundantly gracious. God is not just kind. God overflows with kindness. God loves to give you, his children, not just what you need, but so much more than you need. It is God's nature. It is his pleasure to give you grace upon grace. Ask him. Call out to him. Cry out to him in your helplessness. He will respond. It's his pleasure to do so. And so as we come to a close, we see that this chapter, the beginning of our passage, starts on a note of death. Your servant, my husband, is dead. But it ends on a note of life. Sell the oil, pay your debts, you and your sons can live on the rest. Death to life. God brings life out of death. He turns situations of death and destitution into experiences of life and joy. God has helped this helpless widow. Just as Elijah in 1 Kings 17 had helped the widow of Zarephath, so here Elisha helps this widow. He is Elijah's true successor. And so this woman was quite right to go to him in all of her helplessness, because she knew by faith that it was through the man of God that she would get the help that she so desperately needed. And of course, in our helplessness, we go to one so much greater than Elisha. We go to the Lord Jesus Christ. We go to the one who has paid all of our debts, the one who has given us eternal life in all of its abundance. We go to the one who has saved us when we just could not save ourselves. And we go to the one who is ever able and ever willing to help us. Are you burdened and troubled tonight? Are you cast down with many woes and anxieties? Are you depressed and distressed, in desperate need? If so, just take it all to Jesus. Lay it at his feet. He will pity you. He will hear your cries, and he will help you. For he is God, your helper. And with the Lord Jesus by your side, as your helper, your cup will overflow, both now and into eternity. Amen.